When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
All right, great to be with you on a Tuesday morning with a 7-2 football team against, what are they, 7-3 Washington team?
Correct.
That's a good matchup on Thursday night.
How about it?
Right? It's exciting.
It really is.
It's exciting. Hey, by the way, Time's Yours today and every day. Let me give you a call to action for today's Time's Yours, which, of course, airs at 9:45. Let us know today, 215-238-4500, how you would greet Joel Embiid tonight. Is it a cheer? Is it a boo? What would it be? So, obviously, you can wait on the regular phone lines, 215-592-9494. But, you know, of course, they often get pretty jammed up. If you want to just call the Time's Yours line and let it rip or react on the Eagles or anything, 215-238-4500, how would you greet Joel Embiid tonight? John, I am struck by Spike Eskin apparently pushing back on social media, questioning the boo as a concept tonight for Joel. Look, he's going to get booed by some. I mean, don't kid yourself, man. I mean, they're in a hole.
Questioning the boo because Spike is questioning it because he thinks it's completely inappropriate.
I guess.
It's out of left field.
I guess.
Well, we'll find out. I just texted him. He's going to come on the show at 9 o'clock.
Good. Well, he's going to have to pay the
ball. He's going to have, yeah, we're going to find out why he is so outraged that there is a boo in the bowl.
James, there will be some Sixers fans that will boo him. Now, I know there will be a lot of Knicks fans that will boo him, which, by the way, will mitigate, perhaps,
yeah,
a Sixer boo.
It's an interesting, like, layer to it.
Yeah, and that's then, like, the Sixer fan that might
be
inclined to boo.
Will want to fight back. That's a great point, Joe. He might get booed less by Sixers fans because of the Knicks fans.
That's for sure. But, but, you know.
But it's all about the whole point of it is what we want to know what that Sixers fans on mass would do in this situation.
Correct. And that's why we framed the poll question the way we did. We also know the guy's made a ton of money, and the last time he spoke, and it was like, you know,
put his body on the line for all of us.
I've done that for you. I've done
the
this.
The $500 million I had nothing to do with it.
The bleeping city thing was a little ridiculous.
That's
another
too
one.
Much.
Yeah, I mean, it's, anyway, where do
Man,
you?
I don't even need that surgery. You could just do surgery on me for $500 million. Like, I don't care. Just pick like 20 things.
All right,
and
what
do
body
it.
Part?
Yeah, I don't care. 20. Pick them for $500 million.
Oh, boy. All right, where do you stand on Joel tonight? To cheer, to boo, to stand, you know? It's a conundrum. Where do you come down on that? Let's go to the phones. Also, the Eagles. Let's reset the tables. Are they a legit Super Bowl contender? In our poll result yesterday, we found out 65% said yes, 35% said no. I think they are. Now, that's me knowing that I don't even know that they're that great. So you might say, well, Joe, how do you arrive at that answer? Yes. Well, I don't know if anybody's that great in the NFC. So someone's got to get there. Someone's going to have a shot to win. I think that the Eagles are clearly at this point an above-average team. I do have skepticism. You guys know I got skepticism on certain fronts, but they're much improved from where they were at the start of the year. And I think they're a real true contender. I believe that.
Wow. Well, I don't know if I feel willing to let you into the group that believes in this team completely.
Well, fine. Don't let me in.
I'll
be like Dino.
I don't think you are.
I'll go through
in.
The window.
I feel like you have to.
Remember that, James?
Wait and like stick your nose against the glass and get, you know, hot and bothered outside the glass as it steams up. And we, those who believed in Jalen and this team, are inside in the warmth, basking in the, you know, the record and the way everything feels
James,
now heading
John,
into
the
a game.
John, the gatekeeper Richie over here.
I hate gatekeepers.
Yeah, I do too.
Gatekeepers
in reality, I am very against gatekeeping.
It's a horrible look, especially for sports talk radio.
Yes.
And you know where, James, it's even worse for John?
Yes.
As if he's really been in on Sirianni?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, come on. That's a great, what a great comeback there.
Oh, my God.
He's smiling sheepishly
now.
He's
John's
like,
John's got Sirianni as Super Bowl winning coach.
Yeah, you're not allowed in on Sirianni when they win.
All right, let's welcome in. You know, we love talking football. We love talking baseball and hoops, the whole deal. So all of it on the table, 215-592-9494 on this fine Tuesday morning. He saw the birds get to 7-2 the other day. Mr. Ben Davis. Good morning, Ben.
Top of the morning to you.
How are you, pal?
I'm doing great.
And so, the rest of the day to yourself, lad.
So, Joe, you can't just leave that hanging.
I'm sorry.
I thought you learned
it's because Joe's looking at his mic. It's very low. Yeah, I can tell. I knew exactly what was going on with you. Joe was like
OCD
bugged out. I could see it.
Well, let's go.
He's right. I was thinking the same thing. I was going to get in Ben's ear, but I could see Joe just bugging about
you're fine.
It there.
Yeah, Ben, you're good. So, Ben, is this team a legit Super Bowl contender in your opinion?
I still haven't seen enough. I'm sorry, I just haven't. And I know the schedule is what the schedule is, and you can only play who's on your schedule.
Yep.
But you look at the first half. You look at the first half of that game against a team that stinks. That team stinks.
Yep.
The Cowboys stink. That quarterback is ridiculous. It's ridiculous. That's an NFL quarterback. And they were only up, you know, by a little bit after the first half. That's alarming to me.
They did wallop them in the third quarter, though.
Undoubtedly.
And a lot of that was the defense. No, look, don't get me wrong. Jalen, the offense played great, but it was a lot of short fields. I mean, they got a ton of turnovers. And next thing you know, they had a ton of points really quickly there. Look, I think they're a legit Super Bowl contender, but I'm not telling you that I think they're a tremendous football team. They may be. They may turn into one. Clearly, John, they've improved from where they were. Clearly, they started beating up on the.
That's the goal. Continue to improve.
Yeah.
I don't like where they started. I think it was a little bit too much of a ditch because they didn't do enough work coming out. But man, they perfected the art, I guess, after the bye of tackling. And once that sort of, it's strange that the defense, which is the last place we ever thought we would look for stability on this team, I think going into it, we were all saying, hey, Saquon Barkley, that running game, that's going to provide stability for the offense. And then that stable offense will provide stability for the defensive side of things. The trick is the defense provided the stability from the get-go. And in droves, they did so much better, and they were so much more stable than we ever could have expected
a big
at
but.
The linebacker
but
position.
But there's a big but. They have
and
not
cornerback.
Faced. They have not faced anybody for a month.
Okay,
they You're really right. haven't.
And our young cornerbacks
other than Burrow
during
and
that
Chase.
Month, you know what's
Which
happened
real,
during
though,
that?
Burrow,
yeah,
I mean, Burrow,
during that time,
they put up the two games since they played both
receivers.
Without T. Higgins. They put up 41 points and 34 points in the 2 weeks since they played the Eagles.
No, that's fair.
With no T. Higgins. So I'm just saying that's a pretty damn good offense.
All right, think about these
get
young
calls
players going up against these receivers, the top, the best of the best.
Yep.
Week after week, they're not getting extra help in most cases. They're gaining confidence. This defense, this young defense, is getting a lot better. And that's saying something because they were a lot better than we thought to start this year. So,
well, look,
again, they've sort of carried things. Now the offense and that run game
sure.
is where it needs to be. Of course, the pass game now, the deep play action stuff, is right where it needs to
be. It's great.
We are functioning at a very high level in time for this huge matchup.
All right, we ask you this question. Do you think the Eagles are a legit Super Bowl contender? Why or why not? And if you're no, what holds you back? Let's go to Levert in Erie Avenue. Good morning, Levert.
Hey, good morning, good morning. Good morning, Eagles Nation.
Hi, Levert.
How's everybody doing?
Pretty other good. Other than the use of the term Eagles Nation, which I oppose, I'm great.
For no reason.
Well, there's no such thing. There's Nova Nation. I've been through this. There's Red Sox Nation. There's
Why?
Nova
Why can't
Nation.
We have a nation?
Why?
There's
Why?
The United
brother,
Nations.
Brother,
there's no Eagles
brother,
Nation.
There is the Eagles Nation.
Tell them, Vert.
Everywhere you go in this country, there's an Eagles bar in that city.
There is.
There's the Eagles Nation.
Yep.
All right. Yeah.
All right.
We just have chosen not to have
upsetting?
You as a citizen.
You got
Joe.
Me. You got me, Levert. All right, Levert, give me an answer. Are they legit? Are they a legit Super Bowl contender?
I'm going to tell you like this. Beginning of the year, I was questioning whether they were or weren't. As I see them mature in the season, these guys are a lot better than anybody thinks. I've seen a lot of football in my day. Everybody keeps on saying, I got to see more. Who have they beat? Listen, this is the norm. You never have more than about 4 to 5 great quarterbacks, good quarterbacks in the league.
Typically, yeah, okay? that you face.
Actually, and I think the league is more down than ever.
Is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's less great teams or even really good teams than usual.
I agree with that.
Correct.
Okay, so you're a believer in part because there's no one else out there, or not many others out there.
Not that there's no one out there.
It's about adjusting what you see to what there is. Like what we're used to seeing as a great team, we have to adjust that down.
Levert, go ahead.
That's right. And you're playing who's in front of you, period. You know, they're all professionals. End of the day, I keep on saying this. I stress this every time I call in. You know, a lot of us couldn't do what they do.
Well, yes, but listen, Cooper Rush can do more than I can do, but he's not a legit Super Bowl contender.
No, not at all.
So let's just understand there's some levels here we're discussing. All right, Levert, give me an answer. What makes you think of the old days?
I can corner the market on this because I am the old days.
Oh, boy.
I'm gonna go with something. I actually had a couple of answers, so I'm just going to spit them out real quick.
Give me one.
All right, the one. All right, coal-burning furnaces in Philadelphia.
Yeah. Sure. You got
it,
Levert.
That's a good answer, Bert.
That's a really good answer. Good call right there.
Jimmy, I told you this. Jimmy is playing the bass line here. Jimi Hendrix is playing the lead guitar part. He's also playing, you can hear the bass line. Yeah. Because his bassist walked out of the session. His bassist, Noel Redding, who always had sort of a volatile relationship with Jimmy because he was jealous of Jimmy's mastery of the guitar and virtuosity, he walked out of the session, said, "I quit. I'm out of here." And Jimmy said, "All right, hand me the bass."
Took over.
And just rocked it out. Just picked it up and did it, and it was quick and easy, and that's the version that you hear every time. It's Jimmy on bass.
It's a great version. So the question is, while that's great, are the Eagles great? And are the Eagles truly Super Bowl contending great?
Indeed they are.
Here's the thing. I don't even know if you have to be Super Bowl contending great to be Super Bowl contending this year.
That helps.
I mean, look, there's a great case you can make for the Eagles being the second best team in the conference, and you can probably even make a case for them being the best team in the conference.
You certainly can.
And I don't think the Lions are that good.
Are all that scary.
I don't either.
I think the Lions have great scheme, and they have great toughness, and they have belief. I think we can approach them on almost everything, all those fronts. I'm a little concerned on the scheme part because I do feel like they do some special things offensively. It's the third year in that Ben Johnson offense, which is sort of unheard of when the offense is good in today's NFL.
Yeah, usually a guy gets plucked.
He has resisted leaving to greener pastures, and he's stayed to be the OC of a team that he knows has a chance to win it all. This is the year he expects that'll happen. Are the Eagles better than the Lions? I think they are. I think they can be. I think they should be when it's all said and done. They're very talented, the Lions, but we're more talented than they are.
So yesterday, our poll result, end of the show, 65% of people said the Eagles are a legit Super Bowl contender. I was surprised it wasn't a higher number. And I'm not even saying the Eagles are that great, because I don't think they're that great. But in this league this year, I think the Eagles are a legit Super Bowl contender. And I was shocked, with a 5-game winning streak, that 35% of people said no. Where do you stand? 215-592-9494. Plus, how to handle the Joel situation tonight. He gets introduced. What would you do? Cheer, boo? Sit there and do nothing. What do you do? Jaws joins us shortly. Brandon Graham in about 20 minutes. And reminder, 8 o'clock today. And of course, we give these tickets away prior to every Eagles home game. Today at 8, we give you a name. Know that name and be ready to call in 8 o'clock on Thursday because you can win tickets to the Eagles in Washington.
And of course, courtesy of NovaCare Rehabilitation, the power of physical therapy.
All right, let's get to John in Warminster right now. John, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Doing well, John.
Good. Is Ben still there? I have a baseball comment and question.
I'm here.
Ben, listen, I know the Phillies are talking about making changes in the outfield to improve the team, the hitting structure, so there's more contact made and stuff like that, but I can't see them going after Soto. What do you think about Brandon Nimmo?
I like him.
He just got signed to a long contract.
He got signed to a 6-year deal with the Mets.
Yeah, he signed, John.
Yeah, last offseason.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
oh, wow. I'm sorry.
It was a big deal, too. So I don't think he's going to go anywhere. I didn't know that.
I'm sorry. I missed that.
No, that's okay. That's all right.
You know what, John? I disagree. It's not okay. It's actually an outrage.
I'm
a top-notch Phillies fan. I can't believe I missed
that. I like your thinking, though, of trying to improve the outfield.
They do need some help in the outfield.
Big time.
100%.
For sure. Yeah.
Wow. That's something else. What about Teoscar Hernandez? Or maybe the guy from the White Sox, Luis Robert? Do you think those guys were in play?
So Teoscar's a free agent. Robert is not.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they would have to trade for him. I understand that. But they keep talking about Crochet as a pitcher, maybe as a fifth starter. And I'm wondering if, you know, they could do some business with the White Sox on both those guys or one of the guys.
Yeah, I would. I like Crochet. But the problem is he's only really done it for 1 year as a starter. So you don't know if that arm's going to hold up and how resilient he's going to be next year. Okay. I do like Teoscar Hernandez a lot. He's a great clubhouse guy. And what he does on the field is pretty spectacular.
How expensive would we be talking with Teoscar?
Well, I think he's going to want – the problem is he's probably going to want a 3 or 4 year deal at the minimum, and he's going to cost you a lot of money. It's a lot of home runs.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he'd probably be in the $25 to $30 million range, believe it or not.
Wow. Hey, John, give me a great answer here, man. This is for Flyers tickets. What makes you think of the old days?
Oh, my God, I'm 63 years old, and I remember when I was 9 or 10 years old, and I used to wait for Sears catalog to come in the mail.
That's another good answer. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's a really good answer. Does Sears exist?
I think they do.
Yeah.
Yes. I think they do.
I don't know.
They closed the one at the Grant Run Mall. They closed the one at the Concord Mall down in Delaware. I have not seen a Sears in a long time.
Maybe it's just online now?
Maybe. Or maybe it's not at all.
It's definitely online, like Sears.com.
Because I don't feel like I've seen a Sears store in a long time.
I think back where my mom lives, I can find you a Sears.
Okay. So there are still Sears. I guess I'm looking at the...
Hey, by the way...
Not many, though, it looks like. There are none within a 100-mile radius of us, for what it's worth.
Hey, congratulations to Jeremy Roenick. If you missed it, JR went into the Hockey Hall of Fame yesterday. Well-deserved.
Well-deserved.
Honor for Jeremy Roenick, who frankly should have gone into the Hall of Fame much sooner than this in his retirement. But he was a hell of a player. He was a colorful character. And, you know, we had him on the program a couple of months ago when that news came out that he was, you know, had made the Hall. And last night officially inducted. Congrats.
And you
to
could
him.
Tell how much it meant to him.
You could.
Like really meant to
for
him.
For sure.
You know?
When this Eagles season's over, we plan on getting him in studio, maybe February or March, and having some fun someday with JR in here, because he really is one of the great guests in sports radio. I mean, he's got an unbelievable personality. All right, let's talk to our...
By the way, Sears, Appliances and Mattresses, Camp Hill, Pennsylvania, Capital City Mall. That's the mall I used to go to back in the day. That's the cool kids
and
mall.
And it still exists?
Yeah. Yeah, that mall is still there, and it's... It maybe not as glamorous as it once was,
but it's got a food court working. There you go.
And it still has a Sears.
Nice. All right, Twitter poll question of the day relates to the 76ers. Of course, you can weigh in. Twitter poll brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Armin has the new 2025 Chevy Trax in stock now, starting at only $21,495. Together, let's drive. See Armin's inventory at ArminChevy.com. The poll question, if you were attending tonight's Sixers game, how would you greet Joel Embiid when he is introduced? We've broken it up into four categories. A, standing ovation. B, normal pregame cheer. C, boo. D, neither cheer nor boo. This is a complicated one because it was a very complicated offseason and very, very complicated start of the regular season for Joel as he finally climbs into action tonight, game number 10. They're in a hell of a hole. At 2-7, already 8.5 games back of the Cleveland Cavaliers, who are an incredible 12-0. All right, let's talk to our next guest, Jaws, every Tuesday at this time. We love talking to Jaws when the Eagles, Jaws, are on a 5-game winning streak. How beautiful is that?
Joe, we're on a roll, and John, I've been to that Sears in Camp Hill, so hey, it's a good story.
It sure is. Find anything you want.
It might be might be a third of the size that it used to be, but that's okay.
Yeah, they're scaling down.
Yeah, they sure are.
Anyway, the Eagles are playing darn good football right now, and it'll be a good test on Thursday night. I'm excited about this matchup.
For sure. So, Jaws, I know much like John, you were, as a player, wired to handle the next game. You know me as a talk show host, and a lot of us as fans, we like to look ahead and try to assess big picture what we have. And we're trying to figure out today, do we have a legit Super Bowl contender? What's your answer to that question?
I would be leaning yes right now. I'm not there, but I'm you know, I think we've all seen really good things and an improvement every single week. I love the way the defense is playing right now. I expected our offense to be dynamic. I really did going into the season. You know, it was a veteran group, everybody back pretty much. You know, Saquon Barkley addition. I thought the offense would really carry this football team. But the defense, to me, has gotten better every single week. And I think as Vic Fangio has begun to understand the talents and maybe even some limitations of some of the players, defense has gotten better every week. This will be a good test this week. Washington has a balanced offense. They got a quarterback that, for a rookie, is playing at an unbelievable level. So this will be a good test for the defense this week.
What holds you back, Jaws, from saying a definitive yes? I hear you, you know, you lean yes, but you're kind of hesitant. What holds you back from being more, you know, with more conviction?
The level of competition. You know, you look at some of the better teams right now. We haven't faced them. The NFC East is just a mess right now. I mean, the Giants are a joke. The Cowboys are a flat-out terrible football team right now. And they won't compete with us for 3 years right now after watching that game on Sunday. That's how bad they are. They got quarterbacks that couldn't hit water if they fell out of a boat. Mm-hmm. It is just a horrible display of offensive football. So I just think, right, from the Eagles' standpoint, it's a level of competition. I want to see us, you know, get up against a good team. You know, Tampa, who is not playing well right now, they're playing well, not winning, you know, handled us pretty well. Those are the games that kind of concern me. When you got good competition, you didn't handle it well. So this will be a good test.
So it looked like in our last game, Jaws, Jalen played so much better toward the end of the second quarter, the second half, because the protection was better. What made the protection so much better? What made Jalen so much more comfortable when things were smooth sailing in our last outing?
John, I actually thought for the most part protection was good early in the game. Jalen was kind of in a funk early in the game. You know, I went through that tape. Mm-hmm. He had some receivers open. He wasn't pulling the trigger. Now, I don't know. You know, you hear all these complaints about the lights and the sunset and all the other stuff. I'm not there, so I really don't know. But it just appeared to me he wasn't seeing the field with clarity and was holding on to the football. Then once he worked his way through it, he was fine and played terrific after that. But he was just in a real funk early in the game.
Wow, interesting.
I mean, 5 sacks in a half.
The pocket presence sort of reverted, Jaws. Does that cause for worry for you when you see he kind of looked like he was less aware this week than previous weeks?
Yeah, I was concerned watching the game, but after I went to the tape of it, I wasn't that concerned about it. But it was just really, really funky, really bizarre that he wasn't pulling the trigger like he normally does. And, you know, the pass rush then got to him, and then he had to scramble.
Yeah.
But 5 sacks with this offensive line is unacceptable. It wasn't their fault. That's what I'm trying to get to.
So this week, moving forward, the fast week, what do you worry the most about knowing the schedule is going to be so abbreviated?
Well, you know, as a former player, John, these Thursday games suck. You know, they really do.
They really
do. Come off a tough physical game, travel back from Dallas, a short week. Tremendous pressure on coaches and the coaching staff and the scouting department to break the team down with basically 3 less days of preparation. Then to condense it, because you know, coaches have a tendency to overcoach and put too much new in every single week, and they want to be geniuses and and manufacture great plays. This is one of those weeks where just stick to the basics, do what we do well. Don't try to find all these gimmicks and gadgets to attack the Washington defense. So I think there's a lot that goes into it. It's always bizarre games on Thursday night because of the short week.
I'm going to assume that they're just going to walk through wearing baseball caps and shorts all week. Can you really get ready just walking through? At this stage of the year, are they capable of doing that?
Basically under the collective bargaining rules, you know, you really don't have pads on anymore at practice. You know, you're limited to what you do anyway. So it'll be one of those, hold up the cards and let's see what the Washington Commanders are going to run and then walk through them. So just get a feel, get mentally prepared more than physically prepared.
It really is patty cake. Patty cake our way to
exactly.
A win.
There's no way you can play Sunday at a 4 o'clock game and come back and put pads on Tuesday in practice. It's not fair. Your body can't recover quick enough.
Yeah.
Hey, Charles, let me ask you about the defense here for a moment. I believe, although if I'm wrong, I apologize, I think on Sunday postgame you said Zach Bond, defensive MVP this year. Did you say that, and is that how you would feel compared to Quinyon Mitchell, Jalen Carter? How do you assess who's been the best defender this year?
He's been absolutely amazing. In fact, you know, I think we started talking about Zach Bond like week three, Joe, when I was on, with you guys on the show. I mean, this was a tremendous acquisition by, I'll give Howie credit because he's the GM, but one of the scouts, maybe Vic, found this guy, you know, down there in New Orleans, basically a journeyman kind of player. Also, he comes here, and I mean, the plays I watch him make week in and week out and get better every single week, he just makes plays. I mean, he can rush the quarterback. He's a great blitzer. That's what he did in New Orleans, basically rush the quarterback. But he's great in space. He got a great awareness of what play is coming at his way. I'd like to see him tackle a little bit better if I would look for a flaw. But I think for the most part, he's been absolutely phenomenal.
Charles, let me ask you another MVP-type question. And it's not team MVP, it's league MVP. So we stumbled into this topic earlier today, and I was stunned. And frankly, really disappointed. Saquon Barkley, and I know you're a quarterback, and you're on Twitter, you're CEO quarterback, that's your handle, and God bless you. But Saquon Barkley is not currently listed as one of the top 10 people for league MVP. He's behind all these quarterbacks. I mean, one of them is Justin Herbert. One of them is even Jalen, who, you know, God bless him for his improvement. But, I mean, anybody that's watched the Eagles this year knows Saquon's been better than Jalen. Like, isn't that a travesty? I mean, I can't fathom that Saquon won't be in the top three or four at this moment.
Yeah, I mean, we watch him every week. It's not even a question that he shouldn't be in the MVP mix. I mean, he's been the heartbeat of the football team, both as a player on the field, as a leader in the locker room. He's brought every single thing you could want out of an MVP type candidate. And you're right, Jalen's having a solid year, but he in my opinion, you know, Saquon has kind of been the fuel for Jalen. In fact, if you look at where Jalen's been successful this year, it's been with a play-action passing game. That's because the running game's so good. Jalen using play-action is 71% complete, 10.2 yards per attempt. His quarterback rating is very, very high with the play-action. That's because you have a running game that people have to respect and worry about. So, clearly, I think this offense right now runs through Saquon, and it's ridiculous that he's not getting MVP mentions.
In the grand scheme of things, Juz, Cliff Kingsbury, their offensive coordinator for Washington, or Kellen Moore, our offensive coordinator, who's having the better season?
I think probably Cliff Kingsbury. You know, Kellen has settled down, is having a really good year right now. He's stabilized the offense, and it seems to be, you know, hitting on all cylinders at the moment. But I think Cliff Kingsbury, when you look at a rookie quarterback, new coaching staff, the entire coaching staff is new, I'd have to give him the nod right now.
Wow.
Seth, Jaws, final thing. We're about to play audio set, Joyner. That's why I got confused. Jaws, final thing here. Jaden Daniels, how good is he?
I don't want to overblow what I'm going to say, but I will. He's the best rookie quarterback I have ever seen, Joe.
That's a big wow, Joss.
I've seen a lot of them. I came in this league in 1973. I've been around a long time. The guy has been absolutely phenomenal. There's, you know, his calmness, his ability to throw the ball deep, short, his anticipation. I watch his feet. He's very calm in the pocket. And he's a guy that kind of plays with a smile on his face. He's enjoying playing football. And he seems to have rallied the Washington Commanders, and where he's the guy that is their future. He's really been outstanding. His ability to extend the play, read coverage, throw accurately. I mean, it's remarkable for a rookie. I've been just blown away.
Do you sense a weakness that the Eagles can try to attack, or an area that he's average that they can try to attack?
To get him in a known passing situation and use the junk coverage, yeah. You know, I think that's where every young quarterback has a hard time at the NFL level. You know, when you force a quarterback to have to throw the football, when the play-action pass game isn't there, when you get him off schedule, they start coming with nickel coverages and dime coverages, he's not as far along as you'd like to be at that point. But that's the advantage the Eagles would have when they can start mixing up the coverage.
Jaws, what do you know about this virtual reality training that he's using? And is this something that Jalen Hurts can use, has used, that other quarterbacks use around the NFL? Have you heard about it?
I've heard so much of the, I'll call it junk stuff that helps a quarterback, and I think it's a state of mind. If you think it's helping you, use it. So, hey, there's a lot of gimmicks and gadgets out there right now to help a quarterback, so I'm saying I'm all for it if it'll help you.
Sure.
Jaws, love having you on the program, my man. We'll talk to you next week. Have a,
let's get those Commanders.
You know it, if that's what we call them. Is that what we call them? The Commies, the Commanders, the Josh Harrises, whatever.
I'm still calling the Redskins half the time anyway.
All right, Jaws, stay well, buddy. Thanks, my man.
All right, guys.
There he is. Thanks, Ron Jaworski.
He's awesome.
Jaws?
I love listening to him talk about football. You can see the
incredible.
Hear the enthusiasm he has for the game of football.
Incredible. All right, so Brandon Graham in a moment. I want to play some audio with Seth Joyner and then BG in a second. So Seth was on our program late yesterday, and he gave us his assessment of the Eagles' defense. And this is a glowing report of what the Eagles have put out there lately. Here's Seth Joyner on the Birds Day. Seth, the defense yesterday.
Outstanding.
I mean, really good. Talk to us.
Outstanding. I mean, I think that Vic Fangio has been trying to figure out the players that he has, what their tendencies are, and what they're really good at. And I think he's figured it out. But I'm telling you right now, the play of these two young rookie corners and the way that they're motivating and inspiring the rest of the guys in the secondary, you know, the two safeties had big plays yesterday. And I know what that's like. You know, when you're playing on a defense and other guys are making plays, there's something inside you that wells up and it's like, man, especially if they're young guys, you're like, I got to get in on the action.
Sure.
But both Blankenship, you know, punched the ball out, got a ball out yesterday, and then Gardner Johnson had an interception yesterday. So they are playing so good, and those young guys are a big reason why. But I tell you what, too, them damn linebackers, man, they are playing lights out right now. I mean, absolutely lights. I was really, really concerned coming into the season, and I was really more concerned about N'Kobe Dean moving forward. But when you look at every facet of it now, he's playing with so much speed now. He looks like he knows where he's supposed to be, what he's supposed to be doing.
That's Seth Joyner yesterday. And Seth, of course, is with us after every Eagles game the day after the game from 9 to 10. So we love having Seth. We love having Jaws. And, of course, Ben, because I know you got to say something. What do you got?
Just watching N'Kobe Dean, when he was in that in training camp, he was in the trailer with us.
Yep.
I'm looking at this guy, and I'm like, there's no way this guy could play in the NFL with his size.
Size, yeah.
And it goes to show you how much the speed is a factor in the NFL.
Speed, heart, and technique.
I mean, this guy's getting after it.
He really is.
It's no joke.
Tenacity, too.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it really is.
What N'Kobe Dean is doing.
All right, for more on the Eagles' defense, let's talk to one of the star defenders. He has been for a long time, and I know he's proud of the younger guys who are really stepping up. Brandon Graham joins us every single Tuesday at this time, typically in studio for BG, but a different week. Obviously, they've got a condensed week into the game on Thursday night. So Brandon not here as the Eagles are doing what they've got to do this week to prepare for a game, believe it or not, in 2 days. Brandon Graham brought to us by Primo Hoagies. Be like Brandon Graham. Make your game day epic with party trays from Primo Hoagies online at PrimoHoagies.com. It's not just a hoagie. It's a Primo. It's Brandon Graham. Congrats on the 5-game winning streak, Brandon.
Hey, good morning, man. How y'all doing? How you feeling?
Super.
Listen,
how are you feeling,
Brandon? After
I just like to hear, you know, Seth had to bow down just a little bit, but we ain't done nothing yet, man. We ain't done nothing yet. Like I told you, you know, we just working one day at a time. And man, I'm just like, I think he did good with, you know, it is a lot of competition in our building, and that junk do make you feel like that. Because even for myself, it's like, man, let me get in on that action. Let me get in on it. You know, we fighting to get out there. You know, everybody, you know, just enjoying, you know, building together. And when you got something like that, man, I just feel like we just got to make sure we stay focused. And I love hearing it, the praise, but we can't worry about it. You know what I'm saying? Because just 5 weeks ago, what was we talking about?
Hey, what were we talking about like 2 weeks ago? At least, Brandon, you got to give it to me. You know, I predicted this 5-game winning streak.
Yep. We all heard it, right, Brandon?
Let me hear that. Let me hear that
that audio.
On
the, yeah, we actually
oh, yeah,
have
yeah. Where is that audio?
I'll have to doctor that audio to create it. No, Brandon, all jokes aside, man, we're all so impressed with what you're doing. And, yes, you are exceeding expectations as a group than many of us had 5 weeks ago. And obviously, I did not predict a 5-game winning streak. So how has it happened? I mean, obviously, you haven't faced the greatest competition. But how would you describe this team? It appears that you've come together, both sides of the ball, I'd say even more so on defense. How did you guys become a much better team in 1 month's time?
Well, I think Saquon did a good job of, like, Sam. It was like preseason in the beginning. We was all learning,
you know, how the coordinators wanted it, and the coordinators was learning us, and we all was just trying to work within those that time that we had them 2 months training camp, the off season program, and then you know you got those 4 weeks in the season where we started 2-2, and then bye week came at a great time, and then we ended up figuring it out and building, like, and everybody getting excited on what we could be, because you start to see flashes, and then now it's starting to show up a lot more. And I think that it's a lot of chips on people's shoulders too, like what you said, Nicobe. You see Zach Bond. You see the corners, you know, motivating the safeties, because you're right, they're young, they out there flying around. Even for Slay, I know Slay probably, you know, itching to get back out there and make some plays, but competition definitely is at an all-time high right now. We just got to stay focused because we ain't done nothing yet, man. We ain't done nothing until we holding that trophy. And I think it's the leadership of this team, like Coach Sirianni, what we talked about. Everybody didn't like him, but I'm telling you, he a great, great leader, hold people accountable, and always about the details of, you know, the little things of tackling, like you said, punching at the ball, getting the turnovers, and trusting that it's going to happen if we stay committed to it. And I think that's what happened. We stay committed to it.
Brandon, you talk about the inside linebackers. That inside linebacker play is so different for us as fans this year, watching that just be active. You know, watching the off-ball inside linebackers blitz. You know, we weren't accustomed to seeing some of that. And they're having success doing these exciting things from the inside linebacker position. How does that inside linebacker success impact your job as an edge guy, as an edge linebacker?
Hey, take them double teams off. You got a lot of one-on-ones out there, you know, and that's nice. One thing I would say. Because when they shooting the gaps like the way Zach and them boys been getting them TFLs,
yeah.
I mean, it really takes the guard. They got to make a decision on who's coming off and where, you know, how they want to approach, you know, their game plan. So I just know, man, we working. And I love that we are just together. We celebrating. We having fun together because that's a makeup of a good team because, man, it can get selfish out there because, you know, everybody got different things they're going through in life, and so they got different reasons on why they play this game. But when you see just how we are together, the communication, the belief, I know we headed in the right direction. And that's why I say stay with us, baby. We ain't done nothing yet, though.
Brandon, do you feel when you're about to face a better team, like, and you're about to have a stretch against better teams, do you feel a sense of – I don't know if the phrase is this thing gets more real, but it gets more challenging, and you got to up your play because you're about to face better competition?
Well, we feel we play hard anyway. So it's like we gotta keep our level, our intensity up and our mindset of what our game plan is, and don't make this game bigger than what it should be. That's what we're talking about. We just like, look, if we put our work in that we've been doing, those plays going to be out there for us to make them. And so it's just when they come, you better make them. And that's just the bottom line of it. Cause you can kind of, you know, put guys that ain't been in that situation, you know, at an all time high of nervousness. It's like, nah, man, this is football. At the end of the day, this is what you do. This your game. This your game. Just keep working your technique. Make sure you know what to do out there. And then celebrate with your teammates because you believe you're going to make plays. So you got to have this confidence going into these games. But it is one of those you think about that you got to make sure you're on your game because they ain't coming in playing around just as much as we ain't going out there to play around.
Brandon, how different is this short week and how helpful is it really that some of the guys got a chance to sit out at the end of that last game?
Man, that's where I was going with it. I was saying we was fortunate not to be able to go in for the rest of the fourth. Got to rest up a little bit, and then it's on a short week. You hope to have a game like that on Sunday so you can be ready for this Thursday. And we actually had that, so we'll see how it translate this Thursday. But I'm feeling good, so I know the younger guys got to be feeling good, better than me.
Brandon Graham with us right now, as he is every Tuesday at this time. So Brandon, one of the things I sense with you guys is you're having a lot of fun as a group. I mean, I've seen videos where you guys are messing around in a good way. You know, you're vibing with each other. I want to play some audio for you. You may or may not have heard this then or since on social media, because NFL Films captured C.J. Gardner-Johnson singing to Cooper DeJean on the bench during Sunday's game. Now listen to this, Brandon. Let's take this in and then get your reaction. This is during the Eagles-Cowboys game. Eagles are playing good ball. And here is CJ GJ singing about and singing to, and he's sitting right next to him, Cooper DeJean.
Cooper DeJean. Cooper DeJean. It's cornerback one, yeah. He locked down your number one option, yeah. Cooper DeJean. Punt return. Do-do-do-do-do. Cooper DeJean almost crypt the punt turn. Cooper DeJean be locking down your slot. You throw it his way, no go.
So, Brandon,
that's such a good idea.
You guys are having some fun out there, aren't you?
Man, I'm telling you, it's a good vibe out there, man. We just got to stay focused. That's it. And you got to enjoy the journey. I love that. That's going to be something. You know, when we look back, it's like, man, look at all this that happened during the season. So, man, I'm living in this moment right now. And, man, I'm great job so far. And we just got to stay focused. Don't block the noise out like we've been doing. Keep our head down. When we get out there, we make our plays, and then we keep them rolling.
Can you really get ready to play just by walking through?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, man, especially if I got a game in 2 days.
Yeah.
Dude, I mean, all you got to do is make sure my body good for the game.
Yeah.
And I've got to make sure on my part my mind is right, because when we're doing these walkthroughs, you got to be focused, and it's easy to get sidetracked a little bit sometimes, because if we talking, you know how it is. It's like, you know, we have other – I mean, attention spans is not as high for others, but you got to keep it interesting. So I think that we're doing a good job of keeping it interesting because we're winning. And, you know, sometimes people got to remind you, hey, lock in. Come on, let's get it. Let's go over this again. Let's do this. Just so we know. And then we have a little test so that we can go through them. Not even test, but just like coach asks you a question, bam, you got to throw it back out there. And it, I mean, you don't look good if you ain't throwing something back out there, especially because we talk about the same thing every week. So it's like you got to make sure that you stand on point. So, you know, but I feel we are doing that, but that's what happens when you have those walkthroughs instead of practice, because you're not going at a fast pace. You got to, you know, use your mind more than your body.
Brandon, something I noticed earlier today, and I'm going to be on a crusade on this for weeks now, Saquon Barkley's not in the top 10 of MVP. Can you make any sense of how Saquon's not considered a top 10 MVP candidate?
Must be Cowboy fans voting.
Yeah. It's something fishy.
For real. Got to be something like that because, man, hey, that's why I say we get the accolades in the end when we holding that trophy. Hey, it's been crazy when we go to the Super Bowl, who didn't win Coach of the Year, Coach Sirianni? You know what I'm saying? Wasn't even like, come on now. You know, so it's like – We just got to make sure we carry out that plan, and that's the big reward, that trophy when we on Broad Street, and then they can throw everything else out there that they want to.
Hey, Brandon, congrats on the 5-game streak. Congrats on how you guys are vibing. We look forward to Thursday night, and we look forward to talking to you next week. Great. Best of luck on Thursday in a really big game against Washington.
Hey, man, go Birds, baby. E-A-T-L-E-S, Eagles.
You got it, Brandon. Say it, bud. We'll talk to you next week, Brandon. All right, there he is. Thanks, Brandon Grant. So Brandon will be in the game. You can attend the game because, of course, on Thursday at 8 o'clock, we're going to give away a pair of tickets. Now, here's how it works. You got to know the name we give you today at 8, tomorrow at 8, Thursday at 8. We're going to give you three different names. Thursday at 8 o'clock, after you've heard those three names, set over 3 days, be ready to call the contest line. First caller that says all three names accurately will win the tickets to the Eagles versus Washington.
And that is courtesy, of course, of NovaCare Rehabilitation, the power of physical therapy.
I mean, we love giving these tickets away. John, let's be real. When it's a game like this.
Most anticipated.
Oh, this is the most anticipated home game since the Eagles and 49ers last year.
It really feels like the measuring stick we've been waiting for quite a while.
Yeah.
I think we're ready, and I know that they've got a young quarterback, and on their side that they allow to distribute the ball to some pretty talented players, but they just don't have the depth of talent that we have.
Well, we'll say. I got to watch them to know a little bit more. Ben, here's what I do know, because there's a lot I don't know in life. There's a little bit I do know. There's no way Saquon Barkley shouldn't be in the top 10 of MVP.
I agree with that.
How dumb are humans?
I agree with that.
How dumb are they?
It's a quarterback-driven league.
But that's ridiculous.
It's still asinine.
Because it is a quarterback-driven league, but not to the extent that Saquon shouldn't be a top 10. I mean, I thought he made...
In the entire top 10 are quarterbacks.
Yeah, I mean, that's just dumb.
Yeah, all top 10. I mean, like, again, Justin Herbert and Kirk Cousins are rounding in the top 10.
Ben, because of the game becoming a blowout in the third quarter and the fourth quarter was just everyone put their feet up and rest, I thought it obscured the reality of how exceptional his play in the first half was when he caught the ball around the 20 and finished at the one-yard line. He had no business getting more than 3 or 4 yards, and he got, like, whatever he got, 19, 20, 21, 22, whatever he got, down on the one-yard line. That was miraculous.
He doesn't stop. This dude does not stop. And the thing is, I know we only get to see him twice a year when he was playing for the Giants. I had no idea he was this fast.
I didn't either.
I had no clue. This dude can flat-out roll.
And he's big.
When
I was at training camp, the number one thing that stood out to me, of everything you observe over multiple practices, the number one thing that stood out to me was how physically big he is.
Yeah. He's so gigantic.
I had no idea he's that tall and broad. Like him next to Kenny Gainwell,
he's twice as massive.
It's
wide.
Shocking.
I was wrong earlier. Barry Sanders was a 4.3 in the 40 guy. Okay. But the way that every week after we hear the next gen stats come out on Saquon, it's like he's got the top speed or the second fastest top speed in the league,
right,
weighing 235 pounds.
And isn't he supposed
he's
to be slowing
such
down?
A weapon.
You know? It's he's beyond
and the
a weapon.
Power that he delivers. See, that was the thing about Bo Jackson. It was size and it was speed and power.
It feels so Bo Jackson-y. And
it's incredible.
Huge compliment. Bo Jackson was the greatest athlete that anyone ever
he's
conceived
the best athlete
of.
Ever.
And I don't, I don't want to overstep on, anything, but
the guy Saquon,
it does feel similar.
The guy Saquon stylistically reminds me the most of, and this is as big a comparison as you can also get, is Walter Payton. That's who he reminds me of style-wise. The combination of running,
so much
catching, blocking,
Walter Payton was.
Running fast and delivering punishment. Like, Walter would deliver punishment when a guy came to greet him. So does Saquon. I mean, it's unbelievable.